क्रीडयं पूज्यमो व्यासा कर्मश्चिकृतिशान्यतः श्रद्धाश्चित्तस्य च कृतम् निवृत्तस्य सदन्यतः क्रियं इन् द मेटर् आफ् प्लेयिङ्ग् Ujjama, enthusiasm. Arvasya, of the boys. Karmaha, desire. Chikridisha, willingness to play. Anyataha, with other boys. Svataha chittasya, for one who is self-satisfied. Cha, also, kitam, what for? Nibritasya, one who is detached. Sada, at all times. Anyataha, otherwise. Translation. Boys are enthusiastic to play with other boys or with various diversions because they are encouraged by desire. But there is no possibility of such desire for the Lord because he is self-satisfied and detached from everything at all times. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one without a second, there is no possibility that anything besides him can exist. He expands himself by his energies in multiforms of self-expansions and separated expansions as well, just as fire expands itself by heat and light. Since there is no other existence besides the Lord himself, the Lord's association with anything manifests his association with himself. In Bhagavad Gita 9.4, the Lord says, Mayatitam idam sarvam jagat vyakta mutina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvabhastita. The complete manifestation of the cosmic situation is an expansion of the Lord himself in his impersonal feature. All things are situated in him only, yet he is not in them. That is the opulence of the Lord's attachment and detachment. He is attached to everything, yet he is detached from all. So I'll just read the verse again. Kridayam ujjamar vyasya karma chikridishanyataha Svatthasthitasya chakatam niprutasya sadanyataha. Boys are enthusiastic to play with other boys or with various diversions because they are encouraged by desire. But there is no possibility of such desire for the Lord because he is self-satisfied and detached from everything at all times. So, so Vidura is asking questions to Maitreya. And we saw that in yesterday's class, the question today by Vidura follows on from the questions yesterday, that since the Supreme Lord is the complete spiritual whole and is unchangeable, how is he connected with the material modes of nature and their activities? So, for some, it may appear that because the Lord is performing activities in the material world, which consist of the material modes of nature, that, you know, how is it that the Lord comes here and does the same things? You know, if he and these activities in the material world, constitute the interaction of the modes of material nature. So how is the Lord performing activities? Does that mean that he is also, his activities are an interaction of material modes of nature? And if that is so, then how can he be the supreme spiritual whole at that? If this is his pastime, how do the activities of the unchangeable take place and exhibit qualities without the material modes of nature? So then the question is, if he is spiritual, which is what the Vedas say, then how are he is performing activities without the assistance of the modes of material nature? So it's sort of a two-part question. Now, today's question follows on from that. Is the Lord motivated in some way to perform these activities? Is there some material motivation? Is there some attraction to the material energy? And if he is attracted to the material energy, is he implicated in, you know, the reactions of the material energy like that? But then if he has those desires, he's supposed to be self-satisfied. So where are those desires coming from? And if he is self-satisfied, then what is the nature of those desires, which have nothing to do with the modes of material nature? So these are the questions being asked. Good questions. And of course, we probably all experience that, you know, when reading different pastimes of Krishna, or even his incarnations. Sometimes they just become, all too difficult to comprehend because, Krishna sometimes goes beyond what appears to be his activities as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then one time, even speaking, Srimad Bhagavatam here describes Balaram's appearance day, describing how Balaram, when he engages in activities, sometimes he becomes completely intoxicated. And in this way, he enjoys pastimes. Mm-hmm. And, if you read the various pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, it's also not uncommon for Krishna and Radharani to also become intoxicated. Even one senior devotee challenged, I can't accept that, Lord Balaram enjoys taking intoxication. It was just very difficult for him to accept. But of course, if we don't accept that, then we have to accept the opposite conclusion that, either he's enjoying on the spiritual platform or he's not. If we say that, when he takes intoxication, that couldn't be part of the spiritual, activities. So, these are... I know sometimes, once I was reading about one of the books, I just purchased it. It's I think it's Govinda Lilamrita or something like that. It's very intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I just thought, I'd look through it. I've never read it yet, but I thought, because I just purchased it, I'll have a look. I was reading it with my wife, and I got through a couple of paragraphs. She said, "Stop. It's too much." It just goes sometimes beyond what you can accommodate, it's just, like, this is all too human-like. Krishna is really, when you see Krishna playing with the cowherd boys, You know, he really gets into it. He's not, you know, he's really enjoying himself right down to the last detail. So, you know, we all have experiences. Sometimes we're reading the Leelas of the Lord, and, you know, these questions like this must come to your head. They must, you know. Here are the answers. You know, this section of the Bhagavad Gita is, you know, helping us to get past that point so that we can, you know, read these pastimes and, you know, when Krishna or his various incarnations and manifestations sometimes act in such a way that it appears to have nothing to do with God. You know, it is completely, you know, everything you'd imagine God would never be doing. You know, and you think, oh, then, you know, we have to understand certain fundamental principles in order to be able to put our faith in those pastimes. Because after all, these pastimes of the Lord are meant to attract us away from Maya. And if we're not attracted by the pastimes of Krishna, we will be attracted by Maya, the activities of material energy. These pastimes here, when Krishna descends to this world, he descends along with his spiritual abode and the various personalities from the spiritual world, all completely spiritual manifestations, and he literally opens up a window to the spiritual world. What do they call that? A portal? So, we can perceive these activities. One may question that, you know, are these pastimes, you know, how do these pastimes in the, that, you know, Bhoma Vrindavan, where Krishna performs his pastimes in this earthly realm, how do they compare to those in the spiritual realm? It's described in the Bhagavatam that actually the Lord performs pastimes here. Lord Krishna performs pastimes here that even surpass the activities of the Lord in Vaikuntha. And in one sense, the activities here are more attractive. Just like Jumnaswami, when he was, he puts on the various performances. I think one time he was in Russia, you know, that he had decorated the stage, as we do, because we've got, you know, Rath Yatra coming up. It was all colourful, you know, decorations and so many different things. And there was one person who was, you know, a professional theatrical stage setter upper. Whatever they call that. And he said, oh, you're doing it all wrong. He said, what you need is a dark background, because then the performers in their colourful activities and you know, costumes stand out against the dark background. So in the same way, in the darkness of this material world, especially in Kali Yuga, which is the dark, deepest, deep dark, the pastimes of Krishna actually become more attractive. They stand out even more. One can appreciate them, although, you know, it's inconceivable, even more than one may appreciate in the spiritual world. After all, we left the spiritual world because we couldn't appreciate them. So this is Krishna's trick. Well, they couldn't appreciate the pastimes there. I'll send them to the material world and I'll display them in the background of material energy, and that will help them, appreciate them. Yeah, like that. Mm-hmm. Krishna's great mercy. So, but still the question arises as we try to, we become attracted, but as we're, you know, hearing or reading these pastimes, still sometimes the doubts come up. So, therefore, there are different pastimes that the Lord performs to show the purity, the untinged nature of his spiritual pastimes. Now, Srila Prabhupada once told this story to illustrate this point in one of his lectures. That one time, Lord Shiva was chanting. And Uma, who was sitting with Lord Shiva, she said, "You know, I'm not aware of this name that you are chanting." And Lord Shiva said, "Oh, this is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So, said, "Bhagavan, so where can I see this Ram?" So Lord Shiva said, "If you go to the Dandakaranya forest, he's performing pastimes there now with Sita and Lakshman." And so she went there. And when she got there, she arrived there after Sita had been kidnapped by Ravana. And she saw Ram literally on the ground, crying, just, you know, crying, broken heart. "Sita, my wife, Sita, Sita," like this. Uma thought, Bhagavan. This doesn't look like Bhagavan at all. So she went back to Shiva, a bit disappointed. "You know, I've seen this Ram. He was just crying. His wife had been taken away." So. Of course, you know, we understand that Lord Ramchandra was experiencing vipralamba, or ecstatic spiritual emotions of love, you know, with the taste of separation, which makes that loving exchange even more ecstatic and powerful, intense. But, so, said, no, Shiva said, no, he's God, you know, he's Bhagavan. So she went back. She went back and she disguised herself as Sita and appeared before Ram. And when Ram saw her, he showed no interest at all. He just didn't. Not interested. So then she realized that, because she tried to attract Ram, of course. She realized that Ram is Bhagavan. He's not attracted to the material energy at all. As Uma is, because of Durga, the personification of material energy. He's not attracted, nothing. Sita is the personification of the spiritual energy, you know, the expansion of Srimati Radharani. So she went back to Lord Shiva and she explained, yes, now I realize. And Lord Shiva said, "Yes, this is very good, Mataji." And she said, "Mataji, but I'm your wife." He said, "But you have stood before my Lord as his wife. Therefore, from now on, I see you as mother." So she actually performed sati rite and gave up that body and later appeared as Parvati. But the pastime is there to show that This is recognized even by the great Mahajans, Lord Shiva, Durga Devi. So, Lord Ramchandra, he is enjoying pastimes with his own spiritual pleasure potency at that. So it describes here that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one without a second, there is no possibility that anything besides him can exist. He expands himself by his energies in multi forms of self-expansion and separated expansions as well. Since there is no other existence beside the Lord himself, the Lord's association with anything manifests his association with himself. So he's self-satisfied because he's enjoying himself. Therefore, and of course this is exhibited in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Lord Sri Krishna was originally one. But in order to expand pleasure pastimes, he manifested himself as two. So his internal Ladini Shakti or pleasure potency manifested as Srimati Radharani. Then, in order to taste those pastimes further from the perspective of Ladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani, he again appeared as one, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because when we say that, you know, the Lord was one and then became two, and the Lord was two and became one, he is, you know, eternally, you know, it's not that he is changing. You know, he is eternally one, he is also eternally two. But for the sake of relishing pastimes, the Lord sometimes manifests various pastimes where he actually does expand as Srimati Radharani, or, you know, where Radha and Krishna does combine again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are pastimes like that for the sake of relishing that, but actually these eternal principles of the Absolute Truth. So he is enjoying his own spiritual pleasure potency, which is non-different from himself. So these, we see in the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra that, and even in Krishna's pastimes, the demons, the materialists, they're also attracted to Sita. They're also attracted to Krishna's, Shakti. You know, in Krishna's pastimes, there was one demon who ran off with some gopis. Ravana also was attracted to Sita and kidnapped her. So this is, this has to be understood as well, because the devotees, you know, they're always chanting Sita, Sita, Sita Ram, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. So for the materialists, they're thinking, oh, the devotees, they are very attracted to, you know, Radharani. We're also very attracted to Radharani, Sita. But there's a saying that they're attracted in different ways. Just like a tiger, when a tiger sees a woman, the tiger sees that woman as a very delicious meal. Breakfast or, you know, a little snack. You see sometimes these, people who handle crocodiles and what have you, they say, You know, never smile at a crocodile. Sometimes, you know, they're feeding the crocodile, and the crocodile's always got a nice big smile. And, you know, they just, after a while, the crocodile handlers think that, you know, oh, you know, it's like friends. You know, the crocodile's always looking at me with his big smile and nice, you know, little glitter in his eye. But, you know, the crocodile's always just looking at that crocodile, you know, dinner, one day, you know, I will eat you like this. And a lusty man will look at a woman as an object of enjoyment, and a sadhu will see all women as mother. So, you know, the devotees, they are attracted by Sita and the gopis by appreciating their spiritual purity, their chastity to the Lord, their love for the Lord, their wonderful examples of pure devotional service, unsurpassed, their how they, by their spiritual potencies, they manifest the wonderful opulences of the spiritual abode. Whereas the demons are attracted, you know, for sense enjoyment. We see that with Ravana, that Ravana wanted to enjoy Sita. But actually, although they want to enjoy the Shakti of the Lord, that's not possible. Because, you know, again, this principle shows that, you know, there is always a separation between Krishna and his spiritual potencies and those situated on the material platform. They are not, they don't connect. Even though sometimes they appear to, they actually don't connect. So, you know, one may see Krishna and his, you know, personified Shaktis interacting in this world, but neither the Lord nor his Shaktis are ever touched by the material energy or the materialist. So, you know, another example how they are not part of this material realm. So we see that Ravana, you know, he apparently kidnapped Sita, but when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, he found a scripture, I think it was Korma Prana? Yeah. Which there it described the pastime where, because many sages and, you know, Ram Bhaktas were always disturbed by this. How could, you know, that demon, you know, touch Sita like this, and, you know, so many different things. So this Purana describes that actually when Ravana came, the real form of Sita was hidden by Agni. And at, after Sita returned with Ram and Ravana was killed, you know, because there was a bit of chatter that, you know, Sita's, she's been, you know, in the company of Ravana, perhaps he's touched her, and, you know, how can you accept her back like this, you know, because very strict, you know, codes in Vedic days. And so Ram asked that Sita would enter into fire, and if she was so pure that even fire could not touch her, then, you know, he would accept her. And of course she entered into fire, and that actually what had happened is that Ravana had actually kidnapped the Maya form. It's like, you know, of manifested Maya form of Sita. And when that Maya form entered into the fire, and the spiritual Sita exited and reunited with Ram at this. So, you know, the Lord and his associates and his Shaktis, they have nothing to do with the material energy. The material, the materialist, what to speak of coming into contact or enjoying or somehow, you know, the personality of Godhead or his Shaktis, they cannot even enjoy the shadow of the spiritual energy, Maya. What to speak of, you know, Sita, or the goddess of fortune. And we see that in this world, that despite, you know, actually you won't find one person, despite their wealth, their fame, their, you know, learning, or so many different blessings from the goddess of fortune, apparently, you won't find any of them who have found happiness from that. Just like George Harrison, you know, in that book, Chant and Be Happy, and another time, I'm not sure if he says it in there or somewhere else, but he said that, you know, in this world, people are chasing after fame, you know, wealth, influence, you know, big mansions, cars, you know, be adored by, you know, so many people. He said, I have all of that. And I'll tell you now, there's no satisfaction. He said, everyone is chasing it, I have it. There's nothing there. And therefore, of course, being intelligent, he, you know, became a Hare Krishna devotee. You know, Prabhupada was very, very fond of George Harrison. Of course, he had some bad habits here and there, but still, he did a lot of service. I think he donated $17,000 to print the Krishna book for, you know, so that we can enjoy the Krishna's pastimes. And he donated their house, the mansion in London, which they use as a temple. So many different wonderful activities. He helped the when they went to London, he helped them. They created that, was it the Radha Krishna temple album? Yeah, it was, so, what's that? He did. He spread the holy name, and he glorified Srila Prabhupada and the Hare Krishnas like that. So, you know, he took pleasure in that. And of course, at the last stage of his life, because he was dying of cancer, then, you know, he wanted the devotees, you know, he wanted the shelter of Krishna. And, you know, he called Mukunda Maharaj and asked, you know, you please come. I'm leaving my body. You must come. So, you won't find actually anyone in this world who is actually, you know, finding happiness in material things. You know, Bill Gates, billions and billions of dollars. He had to give some of it away. It was giving him so much trouble. He could perceive that if he didn't give, you know, a huge percentage of it away, it would cause him and his family trouble. You get rid of this stuff. Is that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very dangerous. So, so actually, the point being that, you know, Krishna and his spiritual energy are untouched in every way by the material element or materialistic people, even when they perform pastimes in this world. He always remains the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we see that he also manifested that in his pastimes. So although he played like a little boy, or in the case of Ram, he appeared like an ordinary human being, you know, crying for Sita, when Lord Ram was about to shoot the final arrow into the heart of Ravana to kill the demon for all his offences to Sita and his devotees, Durga said to Ram, "Ram, you know, this Ravana is your devotee. He's one of your greatest devotees. Protect him." And Lord Shiva said, what is it? Rake Krishna Marake Vara Krishna Rake Ke. If Krishna wants to kill you, no one can protect you. If Krishna wants to protect you, no one can kill you. Lord Shiva, you know, there's great arguments in this world. Who is supreme? You know, Krishna or Narayan or Vishnu or Shiva. Going back many years, this was such a big argument that in some parts of India they sort of fought battles and they killed each other, you know, over this argument. But actually it's concluded by the various pastimes of the Lord that, of course, Lord Krishna is supreme. So although he was playing as a little boy with his cowherd boyfriends, we see that Krishna, Indra, you know, tried to harass the Brajavasis. Krishna is a little boy, and part of his play, he lifted Govardhan Hill. Of course, this is quite a wonderful pastime, because from Krishna's perspective, it's part of his loving relationships with his devotees. Because generally, you know, Krishna will go out and, you know, he will be with Mother Yashoda, and perhaps Radharani will come with some friends and they will cook, and then, you know, the cowherd, Krishna will go with the cowherd boys, so, you know, Mother Yashoda will follow for a little bit, and then Krishna will say, you know, Nanda, Yashoda, go home, I'm going to play with the boys. So there's some, but in the pastimes of Govardhan, Krishna allowed all of the residents of Vrindavan to come together to enjoy this pastime. So very, very special pastimes. They all enjoy together, which they usually couldn't do. So, you know, for Krishna, it was just part of his love for his friends and love for his mother and father, and like this, you know, defeating Indra is secondary. You know, for him, he's enjoying his pastimes. Okay. So, he always remains the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, of course, for us, you know, what do we take from this is, one, feel very confident to be attracted by the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. You know, that is the message there. This is what, of course, Vidura wants. If anyone has any doubts, you know, I want to be attracted to Krishna, but I'm just not quite sure. You know, maybe it's some myth, you know. But, you know, why would Srila Vyasadeva, you know, the greatest yogi, the greatest sage, revered, you know, by all yogis, why would he, you know, write some fairy tales in order to bewilder people to be absorbed in some material nonsense? He's a yogi, completely detached from the material world, you know, and wants everyone to come to that platform. Why would he then go and do something ridiculous? You know? So obviously, Srila Vyasadeva and all the great sages, you know, take this very seriously. Sukadeva, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, you know, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura, the Six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these great personalities, you know, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, all these great stalwart acharyas, you know, the greatest minds, you know, Jiva Goswami, great scholars, you know, their intellectual capacity. Prabhupada said, there never was nor will be a greater scholar than Jiva Goswami. And someone so intelligent is just going to, you know, present some nonsense for our, you know. No, so we should place our faith and be fully attracted to the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. And becoming attracted to those pastimes means that we're becoming attracted to pastimes of pure love. You know, Because that's what the pastimes of the Supreme Lord and his associates are literally a manifestation of love, pure love, prema. You know, bhakti and pure love are synonymous. You know, the pastimes of Krishna and his associates, which are a manifestation of the Supreme Lord and his spiritual potencies, is a manifestation of enjoying divine love. And if we become attracted to that, those loving pastimes, then, you know, what we have here in the material world becomes very pale and insignificant. You know, we will yawn. You know, someone can, you know, offer to a devotee who's absorbed in Krishna's pastime, they can offer, oh, here's so many, you know, gorgeous men, women, mansions, cars. It's like Giriraj from me. You know, his father said, I'll give you $1 million if you leave Prabhupada, leave this movement. Oh, sorry about that. Actually, it's mentioned in the Nectar Devotion that yawning is a symptom of ecstatic love. Have you seen that? It is. A devotee yawns like, oh, this material world. Yeah, it's a symptom of ecstatic love. Eh? Which is different from devotees falling asleep in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should place our faith and also by entering into these pastimes, we can then, you know, want to be, you know, or follow in the footsteps of these great devotees. Srimati Radharani, Hanuman. It's like Hanuman. You know, Hanuman, you know, practically sacrificed his life. You know, he worked tirelessly, you know, to help Ram to get back Sita. And in the end, Ram said, I am so satisfied with your service. You know, I will offer you any benediction. And Hanuman looked at Lord Ramchandra and said, please, just give me a hug. You know, this is, and that hug that Hanuman got from Lord Ramchandra, you know, defeats anything that the material world can offer. Like that. So, take inspiration and have faith in the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Be attracted to those and be always absorbed in those pastimes and always glorifying those pastimes. And you know, splash in that ocean of the loving pastimes, Anandam Buddhivadanam, an ever increasing ocean of the Krishna Leela. And some of those drops, as you're splashing around in the ocean of nectar, some of those drops will fall on the non-devotees. And those drops, they will liberate them and send them back to Godhead. And of course, this is what we do with the Ratha Yatra. The devotees go there, they absorb themselves in the confidential pastimes of Lord Jagannath. And, and some of those drops of nectar splash all over St. Kilda. That's enough to liberate them. Jai, all glory to the Prabhupada. So, just any quick questions here?
I work with one comment in one question. Commenting about Narsimha, intoxicating pastime for Prahlad. Wonderful.
Yes.
Just for one person, Lord incarnating
Narsimha. Yeah.
That's one. My question is the pastime Krishna and Gopi.
Yeah, this is you know, the wonderful aspect of spiritual life as well, which also is a stumbling block, is that, you know, the variety, because for impersonalists or materialists, we tend to conceive of the spiritual, you know, world or the absolute as something impersonal. But in fact, the do not see impersonalism or void anywhere. Anywhere within the material or spiritual creation, it is filled with variety. It's like Madhvacharya, you know, in discussing about the Buddhist philosophy of voidism. He says, the only place in this universe that I can find a void is in the intelligence of the Buddhist philosophers. Otherwise, it doesn't exist. So, you know, variety is the mother of enjoyment. So, you know, Krishna's spiritual energy expands as unlimited varieties there. Just like, you know, Srila Prabhupada, as an example. Srila Prabhupada encompasses everything in a, you know, great acharya preacher of the Lord. And his disciples, you know, manifest, you know, they personify to some degree various aspects of Srila Prabhupada's great qualities and, you know, preaching style. But they all, you know, so many of them personify different aspects like that. But in that way, we get to enjoy, we perceive in those spiritual acharyas, gurus, those current gurus and followers, we appreciate certain qualities and moods, and it helps us to appreciate Prabhupada, who was literally the embodiment. And of course, that's what Prabhupada means, is the, you know, master at whose feet all masters sit, because they see all of them are aspiring, you know, to develop wonderful Vaishnava qualities and mood of preaching and service, and they're seeing everything that they're aspiring for is manifesting Srila Prabhupada. So, you know, there's variety and perfection. Jai. All glory to the Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.